Certainly is great to be here this morning. Hope you've been praying for the services. Hope you've been hungry and thirsty to hear a message from heaven. Certainly, we stand in need of the Lord's Holy Spirit to be able to worship Him this morning. And we want to be praying to that end. We want to pray here in a minute publicly, but we want to encourage each and every one of you to continue to keep praying. Certainly good to see each one of you, see some visitors and see some faces that I haven't seen in a while that... you know, glad to see Brother Buddy and Sister Margie, who have been recovering from serious injuries. Certainly want to thankful for the gift to be here with and see you today. Thank the church from our family for the prayers for our loss just a little over a week ago. Thank you for that, for the kind thoughts and prayers and words for that. Any other prayer requests? So be praying for them. We're certainly glad to have Brother Chris Dunn here. I've known Brother Chris for a long time and love him. He's from Western Arkansas, member at Little Flock, right? Still a member at Little Flock, yep. Member at Little Flock Church over there in Mansfield. Certainly want to be praying for him as he stands before us to bring us bread from heaven, that he's blessed. If there's nothing else and all minds are clear, I'll ask Brother Steve to lead us in prayer and then Brother Chris to come forward and preach.
We're certainly thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for the Spirit and the strength that is given to us to lift up our hearts and give us the desire to come before that throne of grace this morning, Heavenly Father. Thankful for those loved ones that are back with us that have been upon beds of affliction. Thankful for the healing hand that reached down and given them the strength that they need and the spirit to be with that flock once again. Pray, Heavenly Father, for our loved ones that continue to suffer the afflictions of the weakness of the flesh, their frailties of age. Pray, Heavenly Father, that your healing hand would continue to reach down and touch them, give to them the strength that they likewise need to be able to be with us once again. Thankful, Heavenly Father, for Brother Chris as he comes before us this morning. Pray that your guiding hands would be upon him, that your spirit would be poured out upon him to give that flock the food that they need this morning, Heavenly Father, to renew our spirit and our strength and our minds as we walk in this low ground of sin and sorrow, so easily beset by the things of this world that would cloud our mind and our spirits. But thankful, Heavenly Father, for that Son Jesus Christ who walked here in this world to give us those instructions, those pathways that we endeavor to follow, that we do the things that He taught to us those many years ago but are still relevant and pertinent and continue to give us strength in this time that we live in, Heavenly Father, for that blessing that never bound by age, that would continue to go forth forever and ever. Pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are traveling, those that are on the roads, that have gone to be with family and loved ones, those that are with other churches. Pray, Heavenly Father, that your spirit would likewise be poured out upon them, poured out upon those flocks round about this country and round about this world that we learn about daily, that likewise seek thy guidance and seek thy strength and seek thy word, and endeavor to walk those pathways that they should, knowing, Heavenly Father, that thou hast a people throughout this world from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people that we so many times know nothing about, but you know each and every one of them, know their names and have them written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And likewise, at the final day when Jesus comes back to call home to glory, all of those whose names are written there, that we would see those brothers, those sisters, our kindred, our loved ones round about that throne of glory, that we likewise would be shouting out praises of forever and ever. These many favors and blessings we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
I guess y'all planned on me drinking a lot of water this morning. Truly thankful to be here once, to be with you again. Not really again, but I have seen some of y'all in various places, but I am truly thankful to be here. I take it a great privilege that the Lord has granted us the ability to be able to come and be before his people this morning. I pray that anything that I bring forth would be praising, honoring, and glorifying our Heavenly Father. I trust that's why we're all here. I don't come seeking entertainment. I don't come seeking anything else but Jesus and Jesus alone. And I trust that's why you have joined yourselves here in fellowship with one another to seek and praise and honor and glorify his holy name. Because his name is a glorious name. And he deserves our praise. And I'll tell you this, it's mind-boggling to me. He deserves so much more than I could ever give. And yet he finds it pleasing unto him when people come together and worship him in spirit and in truth. And this morning I want to kind of dive into that just a little bit with you this morning. I have had a subject on my mind, and it's a subject that I have asked myself years ago. And from time to time I like to go back and remind myself of that particular thing that I have thought about. And it's the question that I have asked myself is why is there so many different religions? I don't know if you've ever asked yourself that question. Why is there so many different religions? Why are you meeting here and not down the street, right? I mean, I've always asked myself, why is that? Why is it like it is in this world? And as I begin to study out that subject, I begin to think that, have I been indoctrinated? Some of you don't know this, but I'll tell you the story. When I met my wife, Julie, in eighth grade, she drugged me out to a Primitive Baptist church out in the middle of the woods on a Saturday night, and I thought that to be strange. Never had attended church before, and I thought, wow, why are we going out here? And then it was several years later, a gentleman asked me at my workplace, he said, I noticed a change in you a little bit. He said, I just want to ask you what church you attend. And I told him, I attend the Primitive Baptist. And he says, well, what do they believe? And I said, well, something about with election and predestination. And the man looked at me just as serious, and he said, I wouldn't have that. Well, that got me to question. Why wouldn't he? And I didn't know how to answer him. So I began to dig into the Holy Word of God and actually pay attention to those that were trying to preach unto me. I would write down everything the minister and where he went whenever he would begin his discourse, and then I would want to go home, and then I would want to find out, can I see what he sees? You know, I mean, if I'm going to go and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to go where he wants me to go, where he directs me to go. And so let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, the Lord says something here that I find very interesting. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, here our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is discussing some things with his disciples, and he says something here that is peculiar to say the least. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things. Now I find that interesting. I don't know if you do, but I do. The reason I find this interesting is here you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is bowing himself down, and this is a prayer that the Lord is sending up to his Father, and he tells his Father something here. He says, I thank thee for hiding these things. And I've always wondered, the question I've had in my mind, why would Jesus Christ or God the Father hide anything, right? Does that even make good sense to you? Why would God or why would Jesus want to hide something from somebody, right? Because in the world today, you hear this, that the gospel has to be proclaimed, the gospel has to be preached for people to get into heaven. Well, if that's the case, why is the Lord Jesus Christ wanting or thanking his Father from hiding some things from some people, right? So he thanks his Father for hiding something. Well, I've always wondered, well, what are these things? And I have had men try to describe unto me that these things could be this, this, and this, or these things could be this, this, and this, and I've never really had a good grasp upon what is being talked about here. And so we could look at it, and we'll finish this verse out, and then we're going to try to get into some of this. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Here we have the very Lord Jesus Christ saying, whatever it is that you have hid, you hid it from the wise and you hid it from the prudent. So whatever that is that you have taken and hid from them, it's good in your sight. It's good in your sight. So let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to find out some of these things here. Some of these things are mentioned in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, listen to what the Apostle Paul is writing here. He says this. He says, and we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want to make a little disclaimer here. Whenever he says all good things work together for good to them that love God, does that mean everything outside of the realm? In another word, let me put it like this. Does God work together with Satan? He doesn't work together with Satan, not for the good. Dear friends, we need to understand and make it a point what he's describing here. He says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Who is it that loves God? Who is it? Who is it that loves God? It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Anyone that God loved, they will have that love back to him, right? Because if you have a love of the Lord in your heart, it's because he has loved you first, all right? So he says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In other words, those that love God, these same people are going to be called. What kind of calling is that? That's that effectual call. When God borns them of the very Spirit of God. Now listen to what else he says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, who is it? Who is the them? Did it ever change? Never changed. It never changed. He's talking about the same individuals that God loved, and we love him because he first loved us. And these things right here, listen to what he says. What shall we then say to these things? That's a key word for me. He says, what shall we say to these things? What did God say, Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11? He said, I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, for hiding these things from the wise and from the prudent. Well, would you classify this as these things? Could be. Now he says this, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, it's interesting to me how that the Apostle Paul, as he is writing this out, he's writing it unto the Romans, and then he says this, not only have you been predestinated, you will be called, and those that are called are justified, and whom he justified, them are also glorified. In the mind of God, you and I are already glorified. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died for you. And you are justified. Now, he says, so what shall we say to these things? Dear friends, I tell you what I say to these things. Glory, glory unto our King. That's what I say. Those things right there, if that doesn't make you feel good on a Sunday morning, I don't know what else will, because I'll tell you this. If you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you, And then not only has he brought your eternal salvation, not only has he done that, but dear friends, he's also revealed something unto you and me, right? These things aren't hid from us, are they not? They're not hid from me, but why are they hid? They're hid from the wise and the prudent. But now listen to what else he says. He says this. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Here it is, that phrase again. These things. Now, so as I had been thinking about all of these things and trying to reconcile it in my mind, what is God, Jesus, saying here in Matthew chapter 11? What is it that he is hiding? I've always just went to that verse and tried to prove that that is the gospel that he's hiding from others. But dear friends, we're going to back up into verse 20. Because in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11, we need to get the context is what is being presented. And I've never seen it until last week. I give glory to God for it. He says this, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So as the Lord Jesus Christ is fixing to teach us something here, to get us up to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, to get us up to 25, we need to understand 21, 22, 23, and 24. That makes sense, right? I mean, it makes sense to me. So as he is getting ready to teach us something, he says this, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now listen to what he says. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. All right. So he's mentioning some cities, and he mentioned cities that are there that existed. And he said, if the mighty works were done in you, this one city, then these cities would have repented. But he says this, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted above heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. All right? Now, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And then he gets right down into the text that we're wanting to look at. What do we know about these cities? Well, we know Sodom wasn't a very good city. We know that much. The very Lord himself, he said, if I can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy that city. Right? But now, what is the Lord showing us here? He said, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted above heaven. Now, Capernaum, where did God, Jesus, do all of his works? Most of them. Most of all the works that Jesus, the miracles that he did perform. All the miracles that Jesus performed, where was that at? It was in Capernaum. In Capernaum, Jesus Christ did mighty works. There was a woman there that had an issue of blood that he healed, right? There was a man that was, his daughter was sick to the point of death, and he healed her, raised the dead, healed the blind. He did a lot of things in Capernaum. He did more things in Capernaum than he did anywhere else. But he says that Capernaum shall be brought down. So what does that lead our minds to? He said, if I would have done all my miracles that I did in Capernaum, if I would have done them in Sodom would still be here. Well, I've got a question for you. Why didn't he? Right? Why didn't Jesus go to Sodom and Gomorrah or send somebody there at Sodom and Gomorrah to do marvelous works? Why didn't he do that? Do we understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows everything? He knows how everything is going to turn out, right? Well, here's the thought that you got to gather from this. You go over to Isaiah. In Isaiah, this is the first lesson that you and I should see in this. And dear friends, sometimes it doesn't... How can I put it? Sometimes we understand that, but sometimes we don't understand it, right? Because if I was the Lord, which I am not, but if I was the Lord, I would have went to a city where I would have known my works would have been received and been, and it would have done some changing, right? That's what I would have done, okay? I'll give you for instance here. If you sold air conditioners, would you go sell them in Alaska or would you go sell them in Mississippi? I'm not going to Alaska to sell air conditioner. I know what the outcome is going to be already before I get there. Well, Jesus Christ, he already knows how people are going to receive him, how they're going to react unto him, because why? He's God manifest in the flesh, right? He knows the outcome. But yet he says, if I would have done those works over here, there would have been a great outcome there. They would have repented. In other words, they would have turned from their wickedness and that city would still remain to this day. That's got to make your mind go, well, Lord, why did you do it this way anyway? Why didn't you do it the other way? All right? Isaiah 55 says this. First lesson that you and I ought to know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen. Right? Our Lord and Savior, he already knows how everything's going to fall out. He already knows how everything is going to be done as it is in this earth, as it is in heaven. He knows these things. We understand that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Now, if I was thinking like God, I'd say, God, why don't I just go over there? Because I know I'm going to have results over there. But that's not the way the Lord works. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I realize in this world today there are folks that go around and they will have bracelets, emblems, t-shirts, or whatever the case may be, and they'll ask this question, and you know the question, what would Jesus do? I don't know. Right? I'm not the Lord. I can't think like the Lord. His ways are a lot higher than my ways. His thoughts are a lot higher than my thoughts. If I were the Lord and I knew that my miracles would have changed something, I would have went over there. But the Lord says, I did all my marvelous works, my greatest works in Capernaum, and yet they didn't repent. But he said, I know that it would have happened in Sodom. So the first lesson that you and I need to understand is and come to grips with, I don't know why it is sometimes, but Lord, it's good in thy sight. It's good in thy sight. I don't understand why there are so many other doctrines out here in the world. I only understand there's two doctrines in the world. There's the truth and there's not the truth, right? Would y'all agree with me on that? There's two doctrines. There's the truth and there's not the truth. And dear friends, I want to know which one is the truth, because the very Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I am what? The truth. I want to be where he is. But he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, because I'm much higher than you. That's the first lesson that you and I
could see in this, as he says about these cities. When we look at those cities, we need to understand this. Lord, I would have went over here, but you didn't. But you knew the outcome of this, but yet you went there. And you got to come to the understanding of this. You're so much better than I am. Now, we need to also notice something else that we know about our Lord and Savior. Turn back to Isaiah 46 and see what else we know about our Lord and Savior. Isaiah 46 is another thing that we need to understand about our Lord and Savior. As he is dealing here with his disciples and dealing with those that are around him, and he brings up all of these cities, he wants us to come to this understanding. Not only does he want us to come up to the understanding, he wants us to understand why he works the way he works in certain things. And the reason, dear friends, he's able to say these things, because look, if I was that air conditioner man, I know I'm not going to go up to Alaska to sell air conditioners. I'm going to go where it's hot and got a lot of humidity, and I'd get a lot more profit down there, right? You would think that would be the way. But maybe they need them up there too. You don't know. But one thing I know about our Lord and Savior, he knows this. In Isaiah 46 verse 9, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God." He said, "And there is none else." He says, "I am God and there is none like me." He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Dear friends, we need to understand this point about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't think like him. Number one, we can't think like him. But we also need to understand this. He is sovereign in what he does. Right? Our God is a sovereign God. He doeth according to his will and his good pleasure. And he just told you right here, no matter what the fallout is on any of this stuff, he says, "My counsel shall stand." So we need to understand that point about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as he is teaching about these cities, we need to understand that he's teaching us that he has a sovereign will, he has a good pleasure, and he doeth according to his good pleasure and to his will, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. So as he comes up here, and he starts to teach this in verse 25, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto the babes, even so it seemed good in thy sight." We need to understand this. Our God is a sovereign God. Because, dear friends, I'll tell you this. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I've often wondered, especially loved ones that are close to me, why they don't see what the Lord has allowed me to see. Have you ever sat down and labored with your loved one across the table, and the verses of Scripture are the same in your book as it is in their book, and they see something totally opposite of what you see, and you're like, "How can you not see this? It's right here." Because it's hid. And he says it's hid to them that are wise and prudent. Dear friends, if you give this book to a man that his intelligence level goes off the chart, the Lord probably, well, I would assume this, I don't know because I can't think like the Lord, but if you give him this book and the Lord reveals this book unto that man, you know what the first words probably out of his mouth is? "Look what I have figured out." There are reasons why our Lord and Savior will take something and hide it from another. And then there are reasons that he will deliver it to others. And whenever I look at that, I ask myself this question, then why do I see it? What did I do to deserve to see the beautiful gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why was it that I could see my Lord taking that cross and bearing it to Calvary and taking my sin debt with him? Why can I see that? Knowing that I don't have to do anything to receive eternal salvation. I don't have to ask for it. I don't have to beg for it because I already know he took care of it for me. Why do I have that privilege? I didn't deserve it.
But I do understand this much. Our Lord and Savior has given it to whom it pleased to give it to. Peter, one time, he tried to think like the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, as you go over there and you read about Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ asked him a question. He asked his disciples, he says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they gave the report. Some said Jeremiah, some said Elias, some said one of the prophets. And the Lord asked him, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said this, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did our Lord and Savior say about that? He says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." Well then, who revealed it unto Peter, how he understood who he was and what he was about? Who revealed it? He says, "My Father revealed it unto thee." Dear friends, if you have any knowledge of anything about the Word of God and the truth of God, it don't give credit to the minister. Give it to the one that deserves it, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, we ought to fall upon our knees and thank him every day whenever he shows us a little bit, a little nugget in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Just that little bit of a nugget that he'd throw to us from time to time. It ought to bring us to our knees and thank him. Thank you, Father, for revealing this unto me. But now Peter goes on down right after that. Lord Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And then he said, "There's going to come a time that I'm going to have to go to the cruel cross of Calvary, that men are going to scourge me and mock me, and I'm going to die." And you know what Peter said? He said, "Far from it thee, Lord." He said, "That ain't going to ever happen to you." He said, "I'll go to death with you." You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to tell the future to the Lord, and the Lord knows the future. He says, "I am the end and the beginning and the end." He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." He knows everything. He knows these things. But Peter, yet, he's just like me sometimes when I'm trying to tell the Lord, "Hey, Lord, I'm going to go over here because I know I'm going to be beneficial over here." Dear friends, I ought not to ever say that because I don't know. You know where the Lord's got me right now? He's got me in a little church in Waldron, Arkansas. There are three members. That's all I got. One of them can't attend because she's got cancer. The other two, there's one of them, he's 90 years old. I celebrated his 90th birthday last year. 90 years old. Other sister, she's up in her 80s. And they drive about 40 minutes from where they're at, down to this little church, and they've given me an appointment there. They call me for their pastor, and this is your mind thought, "Lord, this church is going to dissolve. There's nothing here. There's no good here." But dear friends, I want you to know something. The Lord is there. I go second and fourth weekend. I don't care if it's just those two dear brothers and sisters sitting there on them pews. The Lord has me there. But I'm thinking, but I'll be beneficial more over here. Now, like I said, the Lord knows what's going to happen. Well, the disciples ask him this question in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? In other words, Lord, why are you talking the way you're talking unto all these people, this great multitude? Why are you speaking in parables? Why don't you speak plainly? Dear friends, if there was more anybody more that could be more plainly, that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, when I get revved up sometimes in my mind and I'm trying to catch it, my tongue gets tied. I'm about to do it now, but I'm 3 miles away and I'm trying to catch it. But dear friends, he says, why do you talk to them like that? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. Dear friends, why do you have the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why do you have the understanding of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Dear friends, don't raise your hand, but if I were to ask you, because I grew up a Primitive Baptist, that's why I have it. No, that's not why you have it. That's not why you have it. Dear friends, the only reason that you have the mysteries of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is because God has given it unto you. You know the thing that I find interesting in my life, the older I get, there's two things I know for a fact. The greatest blessing I have ever received and been given was my eternal life. You know what the second one is? The knowledge of my eternal life and where it come from. And knowing and understanding, I didn't have to do anything to gain it. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You can lay your head on a pillow of peace every night, not having to worry, did I do enough today? Did I go here today? Did I get my message across? I don't have to worry about that because Jesus Christ took care of that on the cross. Amen. Amen. He did. But now he's telling his disciples something here. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But now listen to what he says. But unto them it is not given. Who's doing the giving and who's doing the hiding? Dear friends, these are all children of God that he is describing right here. He says, because I'm giving something to you that I'm not giving to them. I like how the Apostle Paul put it one time. The Apostle Paul over in Galatians, listen to what he says here. Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is going to tell these Galatians something here. And listen to what he says here. In Galatians, he says this. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ, into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul had already went to this church. He's already labored there. And he said they have already received this knowledge. But now he says, you have thrown and cast this knowledge aside because somebody has come among you. And that person that has come among you, you have listened to him and hearkened unto him. And now there's something wrong with their ears and there's something wrong with their eyes. We're going to go back and address that in just a minute. But he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed. And then he says this. He says, which is not another. Well, what did he tell you? There's one gospel, is there not? He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel, which isn't another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever pondered this or not. Back when I was studying the Word of God and looking at this, and I told you that I thought maybe I was indoctrinated because that's all I've ever been around was Primitive Baptist. That's it. That's all I ever heard. You know, I didn't know what other organizations did, how they what the messages were. I didn't know any of those things. And I started to question it a little bit in my mind. Maybe I don't believe like they believe because I hadn't been over there to sit under that and understand that. And it started to worry me a little bit because I wanted to serve the true and living God. That's where I wanted to be. And I'll tell you this, dear friends, if I find it that it's not the Primitive Baptist, I will leave the Primitive Baptist. I will. I had a man ask me this one time. He says, so what you're saying, Brother Chris, if... Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody in here. But trust me. If I do, you lay that charge to me. But they were talking about to me one time about our communion service. And he said, I heard that you guys use wine and unleavened bread and you do feet washing. I said, yes, sir, we do. And he said, don't you feel bad about that? I said, why would I feel bad about that? That's how the Lord instructed. That's how the Lord wants us to carry it out. He says, well, what if you have an alcoholic among you? I said, well, he don't have to partake of that. He said, well, what if they changed it to grape juice? I said, I'd leave the Primitive Baptist and I'd go find where the truth is. Amen? That's just me, right? Because our Lord and Savior, He instituted the church and He set it up a particular way. And Paul is saying here, you guys had somebody come among you that had perverted the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then this question would pop into my mind. Well, if I'm listening to a gospel minister, I want to know that he's sound. How do I know that he's sound? Or if I'm just listening to him every weekend, he's telling me the same thing over and over and over again, that must be why. Dear friends, we have to understand it by reading the very word of God and then understand this point that Paul's fixing to make. He said, for I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ, but I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Now, wait a minute. Do you guys know about the Apostle Paul? Y'all know about him, right? Here's a man that had... The letters that he's going to Damascus, and that's all he could do. It says the scriptures talk about him breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was against Christ. He did everything to persecute God's church. And then, lo and behold, the Lord struck him down right there on the road to Damascus, born him of the very Spirit of God. And what was the first words out of Paul's mouth? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How did he know to call him Lord? And then he asked him, what do I need to do? And he says, get yourself to Damascus, and it'll be shown unto thee. Now, as Paul is traveling 3 days to this place over here in Damascus, there's a preacher there. His name's Ananias. And Ananias begins to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto Paul. Now, Paul didn't give credit back to that preacher, Brother Howard. He didn't say, well, Ananias taught me this. Ananias showed me this. He didn't say that. Who showed him that? Who showed the Apostle Paul the Word of God? Who showed him? Think about it. It wasn't Ananias that showed him. He tells us who it was. He said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself revealed it unto Paul. Dear friends, I want to tell you something today. If you have an aching in your heart and you have this feeling that you love the Lord, it didn't come from some long-winded preacher. I can tell you that. You know where it come from? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, he says, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given, back in Matthew chapter 13. So, Lord, if you're thanking your Father for hiding these things, why is that the case? Because He's sovereign at what He does. And His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Dear friends, you don't know how many times I hit my knees praying for that church at Waldron.
thinking that God, you're going to have to intervene in this situation. I want to see the pews full.
I mean, my thought on all of this was this one thought. God, I know you're sovereign. I know my thoughts are not your thoughts, but if you want people to worship you like you desire them, then why don't you give it to everybody and let them worship you like that?
Because my thoughts are not his thoughts, and my ways are not his ways. Dear friends, I think about our Lord and Savior every time I step in that church at Waldron, thinking there's two little old members here that are just, they're old. Their days may not be much longer, but they have been good to serve the Lord. There was a church, I found this out several months ago. I was trying to speak on something. I don't even remember what it was. But there was a church in Tennessee. Pastor had passed away. And there were two little old sisters. I used to remember their names. I can't think of them right now. Two little old sisters at that church. That's the only thing they had going. And where I was speaking at, this one sister come up to me and she said, "You know, I know that church." She said, "And I know who those sisters were, but you know what those sisters did? Every Sunday, they go sit on those steps and they would sing songs and pray to God that they'd send a minister. Every Sunday, they never gave up." And you know, to this day, I found this out, to this day, that church is flourishing because of what they've done. The faithfulness they had. Why didn't they just close it up, pack it up, and go down the street? That'd have been the easy thing to do, right? You know, I've had men ask me this question. Said, "I hear you're a Primitive Baptist preacher." I said, "Well, I try to be on occasion when the Lord blesses." He said, How much you men make?" It's kind of an odd question. I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, what's your salary? We need to know your salary." "Brother, I don't have a salary." "You mean to tell me you're going to drive 6 hours to a Primitive Baptist church and not knowing if you're going to get anything?" "Amen, I'm looking for the Lord." "Dear friends," he said, "why don't you leave the Primitive Baptist and go over here to this other place and preach there and get a salary? Because that's not what it's about." Amen. Dear friends, you want to know what the true church of Jesus Christ is about? It's preaching power and it's praising and honoring and glorifying his name. Dear friends, it's not about tacking on things to the building for the children. It's not about all the entertainment that this world throws out there. It's not about that. And I'll tell you one thing, dear friends. I had a friend that said that to me. He said, "Well, what do you got for my kids? What do you got for my kids?" You know, I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I like to take my kids over here and let them be took care of so I can actually listen and all this." I said, "We got the same thing that Jesus Christ had." You know what he had? He had the church, and it was him and himself alone. You know what? Dear friends, whenever you talk about having to add on to things on the church house and things like that, you know what you're saying in essence? I told a buddy of this, my wife's got some pretty good ones. I don't know about you, Howard, but I can learn a lot from her. Buddy of mine asked my wife one time, said, "Well, what's your church got for us?" And he began to say, "Does it have this, this, and this?" And she just looked at him and said, "Well, what, hey, are you listening to what you're saying? If we've got to do something or add something to the church, we're saying that Jesus Christ didn't set it up right the first time." Dear friends, I won't have it. God knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing, how he was doing it. And dear friends, this place, I see the officer back here, it's sitting probably in a dark place. I don't know. It's the first time I've been here. But I'll tell you this, there's a little bit of light in a dark place, and that's the will of God to have this place here. Right? Right?
You know? It's the will of God to have this place here and to have you come here and to be able to hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what he says here. Now, I've known good men in my life that are very deep into the Word of God. I've actually talked to them. I don't know about you, Brother Howard, but I like to sharpen my sword on some folks like that, you know, to try to get them to think. Listen to what the Lord says here. He says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross," Matthew 13, verse 15. "And their ears are dull of hearing." You know what he just told me? They were able to hear. You know what proverb tells us, dear friends? The seeing eye and the hearing ear. Where do you get that from? The Lord. The Lord gives you the seeing ear and the hearing eye. Now I'm not talking about natural. If you get that, you get that from the Lord too. But I'm talking about that spiritual eye and that spiritual ear. You know where you get that? From the very Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one miracle that the very Lord Jesus Christ held to himself and wouldn't let any of the other disciples or apostles do it. You know what that was? Give sight. You don't read anywhere in the scriptures or the written word where there was a man that was able to give sight except for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do I know this? Go back over to John chapter 9 when you have the blind man here. We'll just prove that point real quick. In John chapter 9, there's a blind man that was born from his birth. And he says this, verse 32, he says, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" You know why? Because he's the only one that kept it and done it himself. He says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." That tells me they once seen, but they've chosen to close their eyes. It says that they have chosen to close their eyes. And it says, "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." It takes work on our part. Now, I'm not going to stand before you and tell you that God's not able to take a man and just raise him up and just give him the full knowledge of the gospel without him doing anything. I'm not going to tell you that because I don't know the mind of the Lord. But I'll tell you this. In my case, it took me to do some work. It took me to go home and listen to these preachers and then go home and look at his word and ask that the Lord reveal it and give me understanding on it. I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite verses. You go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in that verse. He says, "Consider what I say." Now, we're not talking about somebody. We're talking about the Apostle Paul that wrote most of the New Testament, right? And if anybody could have delivered or got anybody else to understand it, it would have been him, Brother Howard. He knew all this stuff. It was revealed unto him. He says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee the understanding." And then he says this, "In all things." Dear friends, I got to ask you a question this morning. Do you have understanding in all things? And what I'm asking you there, when I ask you, do you have understanding in all things? Do you have understanding that Jesus Christ bled and died for you? And that you didn't have to do anything to gain that? Do you have that understanding? If you do, the Lord gave it to you. He told, when Paul says this, he says, "But there's something that you and I have to do."
He says, you have to at least consider it. And you know what that means to me, Brother Howard? Meditate on it, brother. There are men that stand before me that I have heard that preach the gospel among the Primitive Baptists that I didn't have a good grasp on. I didn't. You know, there's sometimes men get a little... I'm not one of those. I try to keep it as simple as I can because I know I'm simple-minded. But they get a little bit deep, and I don't understand where they're going with the thoughts, and then I'll go home, and then I'll just meditate it on for a week and just meditate on it, and it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. I understand what he was preaching about now. But dear friends, what I'm saying is when we walk out those doors, we need to consider what the man had brought before us and see that they be true. And so, we don't ever need to get in the condition that everybody stands up here behind the pulpit is telling you the truth. Right? That clock is wrong. I'm sorry about that, folks. I thought that thing was saying 10:20. Never mind. Let's move on real quick. I'll close with these thoughts. He says this in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now listen to this next verse. For verily I say unto you, that many prophet and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Why? They're children of God because they have a desire, and they are righteous men and they're prophets. He says they had this desire to hear what you hear and see what you see, but they cannot. Why is that? Well, they're not studying enough. No. It's because God has chosen not to reveal it unto them. Dear friends, I'll tell you this. The greatest blessing, like I said, is our eternal salvation. And the second blessing that you and I have ever received in this life. I love my wife. I love my children. I got a future son-in-law. Love them dearly. But do you know how important this is, that we are able to see what our Lord and Savior has done for us? I tell you, that ought to touch your heart, knowing that you can lay down your head at night and say within yourself, thank you, Lord, for all things are in your hands. And I know that it's sure and steadfast. I thank you for your good orderly attention this morning.